Hey everybody, this is Dave Custy, and you're listening to Baltimore Internet Radio, and this program is called International Tourism, and my guest today is Caroline Corre, the co-creator and manager of the Creative Tourism Network based in Barcelona, Spain. As a successful experienced manager in creative tourism, she co-created and currently manages the Creative Tourism Network and the Barcelona Creative Tourism Program. She is regularly invited to speak in conferences as well as to teach in universities around the world. She also publishes articles about creative tourism in different languages. She is consultant for the International Creative Tourism Associate, expert of the International Institute of Gastronomy, Cultural Arts, and Tourism, and collaborates with the United Nations World Tourism Organization and the European Union. She organized the International Conference on Creative Tourism held in Barcelona in December 2010. Since 2001, she has been in charge of the international area of the Foundation Society and Culture, from which she has been managing a wide range of projects, including the launching of the creative tourism programs, the coordination of European funds projects, culture program, Interreg, and the organization of festivals for the Barcelona City Council. Before living in Barcelona, she lived in different countries and worked for the La Casa de Velázquez, the Festival de Cannes, as well as various projects in Louisiana, Mexico, and Morocco. She was born in France, where she graduated in Management of Culture and Postgraduate Studies in Cultural Policies. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Caroline.
Hello. Good afternoon, Dave. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, thank you.
And, well, it's my pleasure to be in direct with Baltimore.
Oh, such great.
A nice trip.
And you said, you've been here before, too.
I've been there, and I have a very wonderful records of the city, the seafood as well, and, well, I'd be pleased to share it with you this afternoon as well.
That's terrific. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a little bit of history of you.
Wow. That's, well, that's a very interesting question. It's not really the question I'm used to do to myself, and it makes me think a lot.
Okay.
But, well, definitely it's very linked to the issue because we're going to talk about the project I'm working on, the creative tourism sector. And it is actually very linked to my personality. I feel very identified to this project. This is not a marketing gimmick, and I really start my career within the cultural and the creative field. And if I asked myself, what else could I have done? Well, I would say maybe nothing. This is dangerous because I was not skilled enough to be a professional dancer, which could have been another option. It was nice. So I preferred to devote myself to bring arts and culture to the largest audience. So I did it through some arts and cultural projects, as you said, in different countries. And then, well, I didn't go to the creative tourism, but it went to me, I mm-hmm. could say, because I started working in this field, organizing artistic projects for amateurs and non-professional artistic groups in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And precisely at this moment, we discovered the very brilliant and visionary works of the professors Greg Richards and Crispin Raymond about what they defined creative tourism, and that appeared to be a very relevant segment, a very tourism segment. So we started working in this direction with their base, with their background, with their support. And, well, by the way, it's a pleasure because we go on walking hand in hand with them, and then we followed with the platform in Barcelona. And from this, I created the Barcelona Creative Tourism Platform, which was the first one at the city level in the world, to help all those groups, all those travelers with a specific interest mm-hmm. in discovering another kind of tourism aspect and neighborhoods of the city, to be in contact with the local, to have access to very alternative activities. So this is a little bit the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, well, I saw that there were a great potential, that this was a trend from the travelers today to travel this way and to explore a new culture by participating in creative activities. So that was the point to create the Creative Tourism Network in 2010 and to start exploring other destinations around the world that had the same profile, we could say.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get to Barcelona? You were born in France. How did you manage to get to Barcelona there?
Well, actually, I wish I could have several lives and try to change my home and places as often as I can. But it looks like it's not possible. So I had the chance to live in several places, like in the U.S., in Mexico, in Morocco. But definitely I had to choose a base. And Barcelona is a good base because it's where I can feed my Mediterranean roots. And as you know, as you've been there, so it's in a very inspiring city. It's a nice place as well to welcome our friends, all the friends you meet worldwide. So for the moment, I'm still based in this city. And, well, of course, I travel a lot looking for creative tourism jewels and treasures worldwide.
You started a organization in Barcelona, a program of getting arts into the community, basically. Is that right?
Yeah, because I was working in lots of projects very close to the local artists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these were not macro festival, but very like handcrafts projects in which I did like a jewel work, trying to polish diamonds, no, and and to find the beauty and the skills of all the local people, the local artists. So it is nothing better and more encouraging than seeing people from abroad. We call them tourists, but it's the largest audience we are talking about, interested in those very hidden secrets of the city. I felt a little bit like the friends of Barcelona or the friends you have in a city, and you are asked to show all the secrets in the non-tourist places, you know?
Right.
But I decided to do it in a much more professional way and above all to fit the tour operators' demand, because I thought that this new trend that was born at a local level would grow up and would generalize to the all tourist industry. And more travelers would be interested in traveling this way.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is really to be like the bridge between the local community and the tour operators in order to guarantee that they would do the things in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
In the creative tourism, the most important, I think, it's the way you do the things,
right,
much more than what you do. So only also the most simple activities, the most simple proposals can result something very exceptional for a tourist. But it's really important to have the role of a moderator in order to respect both locals and tourists and to try to balance, to respect this balance, and to find like an ecosystem from this new encounter. We are not in the tourism industry in the way we knew it. It's a very new paradigm, and it's very important to count with new actors, new local actors, and to collaborate, to make like a co-creation work at this level.
The Creative Tourism Network. Tell us about how that started.
Yeah, well, it's actually like a social background of the creative and touristing project, because by this way we explore the human and the creative potential of a place. So through the local association and the artists and the communities, and you start working when it's with its inhabitants. And it's very exciting. It's a very exciting job to see how they get themselves self-confidence, because at the beginning they are not aware about their own potential and about what they can offer to tourists. And above all, if you talk to them about tourism, because they assimilate it to the like capitals, no, like Paris, okay. And so when you go to a village, when you go to a rural area, when you go to a place which doesn't have a long tradition of tourism activity, all are very surprised tourists could be interested in the resources.
Right.
But what they don't understand is that when in other cases and in other periods, the locals were like the intermediary between the tourists and the heritage.
Mm-hmm.
In this new situation, in this new context, they are now the heritage.
Yeah, right. They become part of the heritage. That's right.
They are, because they are what the tourists are interested in. They right. want to know them. They want to share their history. So the storytelling is very important in this way. They want to discover and learn the skills, which were more often mansplained by the locals themselves. But this is the way that the intangible heritage as well and the traditions can be preserved and maintained, because there is this encounter between the foreigners and the locals.
Right.
So this is a very human tourism, and this is the way. This is the reason why we have to do it well, because it's not a standardized work. No, it's not a standardized management that can can do it. Yeah.
You know, you're pioneers in this, so it's something that you have to create yourself in terms of managing it. I'm sure it's very interesting because, as we say here, it's really a win-win situation. You you talked about that by engaging with people in villages as opposed to, well, you can do it in Paris too, you know, there were places like that. But engaging people with villages, you build their self-confidence too, and you learn a lot more than you usually would if you went to a place and just read a brochure, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, the size of the destination is not a problem. I mean, you can do it in a big city, like, sure. as you say, in Paris, Bangkok, or Barcelona, or Porto Alegre, as well as in villages, or always sometimes it's just a neighbor of mm-hmm. a city, which is part of our network, of our organization. The most important, it's really the way you do it. And that's why we have created a committee that guarantees the best practices of the creative tourism
mm-hmm.
and try to preserve it from, new opportunism, no? that can come when you create a new sector. So,
New opportunities, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So we have created the Creative Tourism Awards to give prizes to the people that do it well, mm-hmm. we consider.
I was in the south of France in Toulon, and I went up the it's up top of a big hill, big mountain, and all like that, into a little village in there, and it was really fascinating. The people really did engage with you, and really were very happy to see you, which is terrific. But also, you kind of, for that place, I felt this strange feeling that I belonged, you know, and that really, you take something like that back with you, and on a one-to-one basis with people, and it's a terrific vacation, you know, very terrific holiday too. Something you remember, not just with pictures. You know what I'm talking about? That engaging with people, and as you say, the human aspect of it, it makes it more worthwhile when you think on it years later and such. And plus, you're expanding your own horizons. You're not just looking at a place. You're experiencing. I keep saying to people, you know, I lived abroad for a while, and if only people could experience what people who live abroad experience, you know, your outlook wouldn't be so parochial here, as it wouldn't be so provincial that you're here, you know, with blinders on and such. I think, you know, in a perfect world, if you could do that, but it's something that creative tourism, I think, is terrific to help.
Yeah, actually, the little frustration I had in Baltimore was not to feel like a local, not to find the well, maybe I didn't look for it so much, no, but I would be pleased to go back and to have like a local experience in mm-hmm. the city, because it's a city that have such a great potential because of its history. Because, I think it's like most of the cities in the United States and in Europe as well. It knew how to reinvent itself after the decline of the manufacturing and to find, to reorient the economy through the services, the art, the creativity, and that's really a common point of most of our destinations. That means most of them don't have a very exceptional heritage, tangible heritage monuments in there, but they have this energy, and we can feel the energy of the locals that had the courage and the ability to shift the city and to recreate a new history of the city with new activities. So history, that's a great point I could find in Baltimore as well. And I think it's a very, very good starting point to develop this kind of creative tourism program as well.
So we were talking before we were on air, and I really would like to collaborate with you, because I think what you're doing is a terrific idea, and I think that's something that would work well here in Baltimore. Let's explain what the Creative Tourism Network is, and how, if you wanted to become part of it, how would you go about it?
Okay. Well, as I told you, we created it from the example, from the case of Barcelona, when we saw that this kind of creative tourism were very asked by the travelers today. And we thought that it was not just the case of Barcelona, but many other destinations could offer this kind of experience to the tourists and to the travelers. And the idea was, and still is, to help those tourists to find the places that have a very strong involvement for this kind of tourism. That means in which there it is not just a marketing gimmick, as I told, but they are doing the things and they are doing them well. So we created a charter in order to define that what we considered as the principles of this tourism. And we started working with, well, the destination that felt identified with this kind of tourism. And actually also we, of course, made promotion of the network at the beginning through the press campaign, through the social media, etc. We were very impressed by the number of very different destinations that felt identified and contacted us to be part of it. Yeah, most of them didn't have a previous program of it, or none of them, I would say, but they had the potential, and they knew that with a very little investment, they could create like a platform and make like the coordination of the local actors, the local agents, to give visibility to their potential. And we started working with the villages of Provence, as you said, close to Toulon, which are very, very interesting proposals, and cities like Porto Alegre, which are metropolis, but with a very strong human proposal on the background and very strong identity linked to the Gaucha culture. And, well, very different kind of places in the world and culturally. And our objective is then to make known around the world their potential and their offers to satisfy these new demands of the creative tourists. So we do it through a press campaign. We have now press covering, well, in different countries and continents by participating in fairs, not only tourist fairs, but also thematic fairs. I mean, we know that our creative tourists can be interested by gastronomy, so we participate in gastronomy.
Everybody fairs. Loves to eat.
Yeah, or in music. So we also make agreements with the Federation of Youth Orchestra, so that they can find places where to perform during the summertime. No, all these very tailored actions that help to foster the creative tourism sectors and that foster the mobility of the creative tourists around all the destinations that are part of the network.
Wonderful. That sounds terrific, because it goes through the whole gamut of arts. It could be actors, as you say. We mentioned crafts, and we mentioned music and all. I mean, we have programs here somewhat similar, but not really what you're doing, but because in terms of sister city programs with other countries, you know, here, and that could be a, we could, you know, that could be an affiliate type of thing. So, but actually, when you start wanting to do this, what would Baltimore need to do? What would be the first step with you with Creative Tourism Network? Well, how would we engage with you to start this off?
Okay. Well, the first step would be to fill a form we have online on the website, which is www.creativetourism.org, in which we ask for a very specific kind of information and data, which are not necessarily the tourist one, but much more like artistic trainings, artistic institutions. So in this, it would be interesting to highlight like the Peabody Institution to welcome the performances of the of the youth orchestra worldwide, or the workshop of music, arts, well, all the activities and events that could be interesting for the creative tourists in the way they could participate on it.
Right.
I mean, not just to visit a museum or the aquarium, but maybe to make some activity with in the aquarium, no?
Right.
Like a performance, like a workshop, something. No?
It's all interrelated.
So, yeah, this is the first step. Another activity you can mention in this kind of mapping would be all the one to related to the craft beer.
Craft beer.
Yeah, this is arousing.
So you do know about Baltimore. That's great.
This is arousing a great interest in Europe, actually. Yeah. and I'm thinking also about all the factory, you know, the old factory of the craft beer that can be recycled for artistic performance.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Something like that, no? Well, all those possible resources, which are not necessarily the first one we think when we think about a touristic destination, that can feed a program which would try to reach creative travelers all over the world, no?
Great.
And the second step, well, after filling this form and sending to us, is, well, we have a meeting, we make like a mapping of all those potential activities that can be proposed to the creative tourists. And from this point, if it's accepted, if it's not, it's because it has to be modified, but generally it fits. We propose the tourist office to create some products, which are very simple activities, but with this criteria of authenticity, participation of the tourists, and creation of an outcome. And to include it in the website, which is the existing website of the tourist office. And from there, we start working from the Creative Tourism Network on the promotion of those destinations. So in some cases, there is a previous step, which is the before the promotion, which is the organization of a workshop aimed to the local stakeholders in order to sensibilize them to the this new kind of tourism, and for them to feel invited to be involved in this new project, because this is very important, the involvement of the population. So that would be the step. It's
That's
not
terrific. I'm excited. This is great.
Yeah, it's really
wonderful.
Easy. The investment is very, very low, because it's just recycling and optimizing the the already existing resources, and create like a new story of the city based on its creativity.
It seems to be easy to do, and it could help, you know, everyone involved. I think it really is. It's an amazing program. So so this is an introductory show, and I want it to be a continuous show. So I hope that you come back and update us and tell us what's going on. And I hope, I mean, I hope that it's necessary, because we're collaborating. I think this is a terrific way of getting new tourists in and discovering really the guts of a place. But it really is. It's about talking to people. It's about engaging with people and really learning a culture. That's really, it's really wonderful. I'm really excited about the potential with this and with Baltimore. But for now, tell us about how you see the Creative Tourism Network in, say, 3 to 5 years.
We could really observe a very growing evolution from 2006 when we started, in which the profile of the creative tourist were much more focused on a kind of travelers who were people that already devoted themselves to an artistic activities in their country, in their daily life. And they say the opportunity of the holidays, of the travels, to practice it in another country, in another context. That means people that were doing sketch tourism, or people participating in a guitar workshop, for instance, to try to improve their skills. So this was very focused on a very specific and small groups. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple of years, or I would say even the last months, it grew very, very quickly, and it enlarged to a very much more generalized audience, which are like conventional tourists, we could say, people that were used to make like a tourist circuits with tour operators and a very all included and organized. That are more and more including this kind of participating activities in their program, in order to have another approach of the destination. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Barcelona, for instance, in a 5 days, which used to be the length of our traditional stay in the city, more and more people are, for instance, devoting 1 day or half a day to an activity which could be a cooking lesson or a dancing lesson, things very different for them, and above all of which they will certainly bring the best records, the best souvenir of their stay. So this is really now aimed to a very larger audience and larger kind of profile now of travelers.
All right.
This is some of the evolution.
So you just started, when you started out, it was very purpose-built. You had, you were with, had artists that, had tourists that were specifically looking for artists, and they engaged, as you say, in guitar playing and things like that, and artistic endeavors like that. And now you're becoming more mainstream in the last couple of years. You're getting into the mainstream tourism, and like you say, if you're there for 5 days, maybe a half a day or 1 day of it will include the activities that you are espousing now, the Creative Tourism Network. So just in the last couple of years, you've grown leaps and bounds and have emerged as part of the mainstream tourism.
Yeah, exactly. Because above all, creative tourism, it's turning now in a way of traveling, in a like a tourist modality, which can fit to different segments of to different niche of tourists, which were already existing. That means creative tourism really fits with the objectives of the single tourism, for instance, which is offering them a cooking lesson so they can meet more quickly.
Right.
Or, yeah, or the seniors, tourists, which are which have visited parts of the European countries, for instance, and it offers them an opportunity to make a very different travel or to repeat a destination. It can fit as well with the punk, the professional own snow kids, which are a new market as well for the owns that want to travel with their niece
They
like the creative tourism because they offer them the opportunity to make a participative activity with them and
So family members, family members can create things together.
I met personally lots of family that had teenagers, and it was a little bit difficult to make them follow all the visits. Yeah, above all, in an intensive program in Barcelona. Can you imagine 5 days visiting all the monuments when you have so many, no? So it was like a break, and like a necessary break, I would say, for the health of the family, you know?
Because you give them something that they could be interested in, something they can create.
They met in a pottery lesson or cooking lesson, so it was a little bit like something much more fun, no?
Well, yeah, right, exactly. So let's say you want to continue this on for the next couple of years in terms of progressing. Tell us about what you like to do.
Well, in this case, it's not a question I will make to myself because it's what I live, actually. Mm-hmm. I feel so identified with this. I wouldn't say a tourism. It's like a way of life, no?
Sure.
I started traveling myself this way, and it looked very obvious for me that that was the way of traveling and living. So hopefully we could reach more and more people and propose them to travel this way. Mm-hmm. That would be my objective for the next years and decades. Yeah.
Sure. And you're a traveler yourself, as you said. So you think you'll be in Barcelona for a while? Because I might try to come over and see you.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So we'll get you over here in Baltimore, too. Yeah. If we can collaborate, which I hope we do, we'll get you over here in Baltimore. That would be terrific.
Sure.
When were you here in Baltimore? What year?
I were in Baltimore. Oh, that's another question I don't like because it makes me count about the years. Something like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. Well, it's time to come back then.
It was very nice period as well because it was in October. So,
oh, right. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah. So is there anything for now? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Obviously, I would be pleased to collaborate with you. And, of course, first of all, I want to thank you again for inviting me to this program.
My pleasure.
I found it very interesting. And above all, your focus, no, to go further and to make some bridges between, our both cities.
That'd be true.
And in this case, I felt very excited because of this possibility, you know, and this project to find the points in Baltimore that could be fostered to develop
great.
This kind of tourism. This is a little bit my defect to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So many possibilities, I thought, and of course, I would be very glad to collaborate with you and to be involved in this project.
It's terrific. So why don't you give us some contact information?
Yeah. I think maybe the easiest one is to enter our website, which is, as I say, www.creativetourismnetwork.org, like organization.
Org, yep.
And from them you can find all the social medias and all the ways of contacts.
Great. We'll have that on the website where you can hear this interview. Right next to it will be the connection, the link to your website too.
Oh, thank you very much, David. And from our side, we'll be very pleased as well to disseminate the brilliant program you're making. It will be our pleasure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. This has been wonderful. I've had a great time with this. I'm energized myself. Get this working. So I'd like to thank you. Thank you, Caroline, for coming here. I've been talking to Caroline Corre, the co-creator and manager of the Creative Tourism Network based in Barcelona, Spain. And I'm Dave Custy, your host for International Tourism.